Tony and Lorene Cross have a couple of businesses actually down in the Batlow area, and Lorene joins me now. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Really well. Now, one of the things you do is run an animal sanctuary, and you've been down there this morning. Tell us the fun jobs you've been up to this morning, Lorene.
9 puppies, lots of puppy poo. So I've just been over there just cleaning up the puppies, basically. I've got, 9 of them were surrendered to us the other day. I've got 2 in the back because they're on the way to the vet to get de-sexed and everything.
Right.
I just go over and feed before I hit the road and go out to the pounds.
Okay, and that's not the only, it's not just 9 puppies you've got at the animal sanctuary at the moment, is it?
No. We do all domestic and farm animals. So at the moment I've probably got about 40 cats or kittens because it's kitten season. We've got 20 odd dogs. The farm animals, at the moment we've only got 1 horse, which is awesome. Whatever comes in, we take. We've got guinea pigs too.
I want to ask you about the fires in a second, and we'll come back to this, but tell me what it was like for the animals when the fires arrived. When precisely did they arrive on your patch?
Okay, so we had 2 fronts come in. One was just before New Year's, and the big one was after New Year's. So as far as the animals go, I had 30-odd cats in the isolation unit at that stage. I don't know if you can hear me if that puppy's squeaking. So we had 30-odd animals in the isolation unit, and I put out a call on Facebook page asking for people to come and help me evacuate. So everyone turned up, and they took, like, donkeys, and we tried getting the camels on a float. The camels wouldn't go. It was chaos.
Now, listen, you might need to move away from that little puppy because...
I'm going to just put the puppy out. Give me half a second.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, it's just a little hard to hear you. I can't believe you got camels there. And, I can imagine you would have trouble getting them on a float, especially if a fire's approaching and they're panicked, you're panicked, and it's all starting to get pretty real.
Yeah, well, what happened was we got out pretty early. So, we were told to evacuate, so we got the animals out, basically. And we had people sort of running around at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and with flashlights on that. So the camels, they just said, no, I'm not going anywhere, and sat down. So there was no moving them. There was a couple of donkeys we couldn't move, the cows. So we decided to stay anyhow. We sort of had that planned.
You listen to 2SER. I'm speaking to Tony and Lorene Cross. They do a whole lot of things down in the Batlow area, and one of the things we're talking about, and one of the arms of their business, is the animal sanctuary. I wanted to ask you, where do the animals go? The ones that you could take, did you take them into town?
People basically turned up with floats and cages, and at that stage we were sort of in a little bit of a panic. We just wanted to get everybody out. So we just put them all into cages and sent them on their way. And I've only just tracked the last couple down now. They went to Wagga and Adelong, Tumut. They just went all over the place. So, people were wonderful. I couldn't believe the amount of cars coming through the gate just to help us out. It was wonderful. Lady had the donkey in her backyard, and it was awesome.
And then you look after the dogs and the cats. You de-sex them and vaccinate them and all that sort of thing, and then you basically pass them on to new owners.
Yes, we rehome them, yes.
And you have pigs and all kinds of things. You can look after almost anything, all creatures great and small there.
Yep, anything that comes to my door, I will take it. And if I haven't got the time to deal with it, I will pass it on to somebody else.
Let's talk about some of the other things that you guys do there. Tony runs Crafty Cider and also is a kind of orchardist in the traditional sense with apples. Tell us a bit about those two enterprises.
Okay, so he manages an orchard 5 minutes up the road from our place, which is all your normal eating apples. It's 250 acres.
So that's Fuji's Pink Ladies. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, Fuji's Pink Ladies and stuff like that. So he's busy there, but then he comes home and he's got a little apple orchard at our place where he's got all of his English and French variety apples that he makes his cider out of.
Now, you were telling me off air that one of them's called Brown Snout.
Brown Snout, and there's a Dabernay, and I can't remember the others because he does the apples, I do the animals.
Right, I got it. Yeah, that sounds like a good division of labour. Hey, Lorene, can I ask you, have you ever tried those cider apples as an eating apple, as a table apple?
Yeah, they're not the best.
they're what you might call crab apples.
Yeah, basically, yeah,
What gives cider the taste, the nice taste, because if the flesh is too sweet, one imagines it's a super sweet cider, which is not to everyone's taste.
Yes, exactly.
Now, so he runs Crafty Cider, and you have not just the admin buildings and the brewery there, but also all the storage for the traditional table apples. So we're talking about huge. I'm going to say bins, but what I mean is just big containers. Are they refrigerated for the traditional apples?
No. So what happens is he manages the orchard, which is up the road. So basically we pick the apples, we get pickers in, and they come and they pick them into a bag and then pour them into a big wooden box, basically. The tractors come and pick that up and we put them in the shed, and then we have a truck come and they pick them up from there and they take them down to Victoria for grading, and then they get dispersed out to, everybody's table, basically, through Woolies and stuff like that from there.
Okay, so you're running an animal sanctuary, you're running a brewery, you're running a traditional orchard. Let's now focus in on the night the fire hit. Now, you were there with your two adult kids. You have a very detailed fire plan, but still a very harrowing experience. Split to second decisions being made in the most difficult circumstances. You can't see, you can't hear, you're thirsty, you're tired, you're hungry. Take us to those moments, would you mind?
Warm water in the car to drink. we're a really, really tight little family unit. We do everything together. And the waiting was the worst part. What had happened was I went into the kids' place in town before the first fire front to offload some animals, and I got stuck because the roadblock wouldn't let me back out. The police wouldn't let me out. So Tony was out here fighting by himself. He did have the RSS then, I must say, which was awesome. They were fantastic. But he was really tired, so I was doing everything possible to try and get back out to him because I knew he'd be, he'd had a hard time. Finally we all managed to get back out and we sat and we waited for the big fire front to come through. We were really lucky, we weren't burnt out. The waiting was horrific. It was just so scary, and then we could see all the smoke. But the smoke's okay. It's when you see those flames, you think, oh, my God. It's nothing compared to what you see on TV. It's really horrifying when it's in your back door.
Tell us what it's like, because there's big flames coming at you. Come on, try and take us to that moment.
We were sitting at our fence looking over our neighbour's property, and we just watched this big ball basically roll up the hill. And the speed of it was just amazing. So what we did when we had a neighbour that she was going to get hit first, so we were in contact with her all the time, and she was saying, okay, I've got spot fires. It's coming through our place now, and she battled with it, and they won. They managed to save their house. Mm. And then she rang me, and she said, it's coming your way, and it was like, okay. But we've been out, and we've done, drills, jumping on and off our firefighter unit and doing things, and we had the most amazing fire plan. Tony had just set us up. We had two backups. One was the house, which is made out of Hebel, and then we had another wall that we had built near a water tank. So that was our final resort. If we got into real trouble, we'd go there. And we just basically all stuck together and moved as one unit. But it's really scary. I think when the fire was there, it was better than the waiting, because you didn't have time to think. You were just running.
You just had to do it. I believe you had a walled evacuation centre around your water tank, which you built. So that was your sort of final defence, that you knew that you'd be okay because you had water there and you could just keep spraying each other and the structure if you... Wow, that sounds incredible. Look, just finally, by the way, we're speaking to Lorene Cross. She's been with her partner Tony for 30 years down in the Batlow area. They run an animal sanctuary with camels, cats, dogs, pigs, the whole lot. They run a brewery, the Crafty Cider Brewery, and they also run a traditional orchard, and just telling the amazing story of what happened when those fires, that big Duns Road fire, swept through about a month ago. There's a big debate happening at the moment, and you probably caught bits of it between surviving people saying, look, it's climate change, we've got to take drastic action on climate change, we can't keep kicking the can down the road. Other people saying, look, it's more about forest management, backburning and so on, hazard reduction. What's your view on that?
I reckon we need to backburn more. You know, there was so much, like, after the fire, now you look at places and you think, oh gee, you know, that really needs to be burnt out, sort of thing. I'm in for the backburning. I really think it needs to be done, you know, all the time, because it was just the grass was just lighting up. It was so high, you know. Yeah.
Lorene, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for giving us a couple of minutes in between looking after nine mewing puppies and your other duties. Lovely to speak to you. I know you did lose some buildings and some of those storage areas for the apples. Our hearts go out to you. We do hope that you rebuild, and we will catch up in the next couple of weeks. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Lorene Cross, down there in the Batlow area.